Special guest John Stone Street with us here, and that is a name that is not unfamiliar to those of you that listen to WLJN and The Source. We have a lot of Christian worldview programming on The Source, our AM talk format, along with our FM translators as well. John Stone Street from the Colton Center on the phone with us today, and we're going to be talking about a Great Lakes Symposium that's coming up on Christian worldview. But before we do that, just before I walked into the studio to talk to John, I got an email about the Mississippi challenge to the Roe v. Wade decision at the Supreme Court level, and the Supreme Court has agreed to hear this argument. John, can you give us an update on that real quick?
Yeah, I mean, most people that are watching this case, people on both sides of the issue are thinking that this could be the most formidable challenge to Roe v. Wade in, you know, so far. And it's interesting. There have been an incredible number of challenges on technicalities to Roe v. Wade, or seeking to put some sort of limitation on abortion at the state level. Some of those limitations have stood. Some of those limitations have been struck down. We obviously have a court that's the most friendly court to pro-lifers, you know, really in our lifetime, I think. And although it's hard to know what the Supreme Court will do, it's also a court that seems to be very hesitant to do anything to overturn precedent. And unfortunately, as we see in every confirmation hearing, there's this phrase super precedent, which is, of course, a made-up word that really means nothing, but is used to vet Supreme Court justices. Look, what happened, which is so interesting, what we wrote about today, was that the Attorney General of the state of Mississippi, in defending that law to the Supreme Court, wrote what was a formidable challenge. I mean, basically looked at it and said, look, our legislature took on this legislation first, after looking at our abortion laws compared to abortion laws around the world, and America is in a minority. Most nations around the world have common sense restrictions on abortion, but America doesn't. America is really in categories with nations like North Korea on abortion. This is not obviously the company we want to keep. They also talked about fetal development, and of course, we know so much more about fetal development now than the justices or anybody did back in 1972. Sure. And what we know continues to point more and more and more to not only the fact that the unborn are human, which was a kind of a bizarre thing to say in the early days of Roe v. Wade. Isn't that really humans? Well, what are they, right? I mean, what you and I were at our earliest stage of development after conception were humans. We were just of a different size. We were in a different environment. We were at a different level of development. But those things don't change who we are. That is the case is made in a really powerful way. But the third thing, Brian, that the Attorney General argued, which was really fascinating, is that abortion is not only harmful for children, obviously, which is true, it's harmful for women, and it's degrading to the medical profession because it turns a profession that is about healing into a profession that's about harming. And they wanted the right to make this restriction on abortion. So it's fascinating, this argument. It's worth reading, by the way. The briefing is available. We've linked to it at our website, breakpoint.org. And it's something to keep our eyes on. It's something to pray for. Absolutely. Now, look, the end of this conversation won't be if this case goes the right way, and even if the court goes as far as to overturn Roe v. Wade. What happens at that point is that the abortion issue will return to the states.
Sure.
And then the pro-life work continues, convincing people. In other words, we want abortion not just to be illegal, we want it to be unthinkable. And it won't be, even if Roe's overturned, it won't be illegal in the states unless states actually move. But returning that right to the states would have a dramatic impact on protecting the unborn and would certainly be a step in the right direction.
John, when you think about what you saw in the 73, well, that original court ruling, Roe v. Wade, there was a lot of discussion following that on how really faulted, if you will, that whole process was. And it seemed like a lot of people were saying, hey, if we can get the right balance in the Supreme Court, maybe they will go back and look at the technicalities. But what you're saying is that the event of the three-dimensional ultrasound and all of the science that's been done about conception may play into this in a greater way than any technicality of the first ruling.
It could be. I mean, look, there's universal, universal analysis of Roe v. Wade is that it was made up, that things were created out of midair. And then, of course, that was followed by another case called Casey versus Planned Parenthood. And there's no question that legally Roe v. Wade was shaky, but it's also become this kind of unchallengeable sort of thing for so many courts. In terms of the ultrasound, absolutely. And I would say it's not just that, although that has been incredible. It's been significant. I often will say when I speak at pro-life pregnancy center banquets or other places on this issue that, God in his grace gives us technology. We can take that technology and use it for good or evil. But I think, the ultrasound in particular was a gift of God for this cause. And I think, through the technological acumen of humans, it's just been an amazing gift. But there's also been the ability to make clear arguments. There's also been legal innovations. There's also been individuals willing day in and day out to provide care for women who are in these situations and to offer care for children. Mm-hmm. Because the only argument really that held water back in 1972 was, well, look, if we don't have abortion, who's going to take care of these women and children? Are you going to take care of them? And what happened is in every state, almost in every city, in every state across America, a group of individuals, mostly women, mostly Christian women, stood up and said, basically, yes, we will. Mm-hmm. And they have become increasingly good at it. And it's been an amazing way of, what's the biblical phrase, returning evil with good. Mm-hmm. And it's been a wonderful thing, a wonderful action of Christians. And that has had an enormous impact as well.
We're talking with John Stone Street, speaker, writer, cultural commentator, president of the Colson Center for the Christian Worldview. John, you were here and spoke for the National Day of Prayer about 10 years ago, I think, someplace in that neighborhood, just as you were stepping into the leadership role there at the Colson Center. When you think about Charles Colson, I know that he was a great, man of intellect and so forth. But maybe a time that he was really prophetically laying out how fluid our culture would become and how we as believers need to be ingrained and in really engaged in this Christian worldview effort.
One time? That's a hard question.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, Chuck Colson was absolutely prophetic. I really believe that. As God led him after the Watergate scandal, if people don't know the history, he was part of that Nixon administration, came to Christ, which is one of those remarkable conversions. Many people thought it was a jailhouse conversion. Mm. And what it ended up leading to was a lifetime of faithfulness, beginning with serving prisoners and their families. But he also cared about why people were going to prison. He also cared about the exploding prison population. And that led him to study culture and how culture works and how the gospel has influenced culture from heroes like William Wilberforce and Abraham Kuyper and others. And that led him to really spend the last 20 years of his life going around on radio and churches and his speaking engagements and saying, look, you need to care about what's happening in the larger culture. First of all, Christians should be salt and light in the culture. And secondly, culture's changing in such a way that it's going to impact your ability and your understanding of your faith. And I don't think I have to, as a trying to take that legacy forward, convince people that culture matters anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We feel it. We get pounded by culture. How quickly things have changed in our culture is stunning. I often, will ask questions to an audience that I'm speaking to and say, is anybody else kind of dizzy by how quickly things went from being unthinkable to unquestionable?
Yeah.
And everyone agrees because we mm-hmm. feel it. We feel it as parents. We feel it as educators. We feel it as grandparents. We feel it as just observers. And just the list of controversial things and troubling things, whether it's in areas of sexuality and gender or technology or race or government, politics, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And, but you know, the other thing, too, that we often forget, I remember Chuck talking about this as well, in Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul tells us that God determines the cultural moment that he wants us to be in.
Mm.
In other words, it's not an accident that we're here at this time of great upheaval and change. So there's a calling that we have. And this Great Lakes Symposium next week, next Thursday, up at Bay Harbor is all about this.
Mm-hmm.
How do we understand our cultural moment and live out that calling to be salt and light in it?
Back in 2000, when Good News Media moved down to our platform right now that we have downtown Traverse City, we began a biblical worldview training with a professor out of Cornerstone University, and it has been a major cornerstone of Good News Media in our programming. And we have people like John Stone Street and other broadcasters that are focusing on this biblical worldview. And this symposium is one that you have an opportunity to meet John and some other speakers that are going to be there. Again, the date is coming up on August 5th, and it's going to be there in Bay Harbor near Petoskey, 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. John, you've got some additional speakers that will be joining you. Kind of lay out what the event is going to look like on that evening.
Well, listen, we're going to look at one particular aspect of a Christian worldview, but it is a crucial one. It has been a consequential idea throughout human history, one that's changed the world. It has been crucial to a truly Christian understanding of the world. It's also been critical. It's a critical way of understanding our culture. And that is this idea of the image of God. And I think most Christians would believe and agree that we're made in the image of God, because obviously the Bible says it clearly. But the difference the image of God has made throughout history has been unbelievable. And that's Jeremiah Johnston, Dr. Jeremiah Johnston, who has done a lot of writing on this issue, is going to join us, and he's going to hit that historical issue. The idea that when God created human beings, he said that we're good, actually very good. Now, I know we're sinners. That's Genesis 3. But what our culture has long forgotten is that we're actually created in the image of God, and that our source of value and dignity and purpose come not from what we do, but who we are. It doesn't come from our ability to kind of, you know, proclaim, this is my identity, and everybody else has to agree. Our identity is given to us by God. And understanding that is incredibly important, both personally, but also if you're a parent or a grandparent, you're not going to want to miss Dr. Kathy Cook, the founder of Celebrate Kids, who puts a practical understanding around the image of God like no one else that I know. And then, of course, we have this culture of dehumanization in so many ways. We talked about the abortion issue. We could talk about doctor-assisted suicide. We could talk about the gender and sexuality troubles that we have. But Dr. Matthew Slee has just written a new book on the issue of suicide. Now, I know that's not a fun issue, but what we saw during COVID is that suicidal ideation, mental health issues just exploded as people were isolated and alone. And Dr. Sleeth believes that the culture has run out of options in dealing with what are now being called deaths from despair. But you know who has the answer? Christianity has the answer. Why? Because Jesus Christ created us in his image and also restores and renews us to a life of hope. And so we're going to hit the image of God, both in terms of what it is, the difference it's made in history, what it means to understand who we are and who others are, and then how we can actually live out an understanding of the image of God in our culture in a hopeful and redemptive way. And that's what this event is going to take us from, is what to think, to how to live. And it's going to be a profound evening together. It's kind of a mini version of our big national event, which we hosted a few weeks ago down in Fort Worth, Texas, a couple-day event on the image of God. And we're kind of bringing that kind of, you know, a nicely packaged addition here to the Great Lakes Symposium.
Well, it's all going to happen in 2.5 hours, and that's going to be the most amazing part right there to get everything.
We're going to move fast.
Yeah, you hang a strap on your seatbelt and get ready for the ride. I understand that it's a free event, John, is that right?
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely free. Again, it's at the Bay Harbor Event Center Fine Arts Center there in Bay Harbor right by Petoskey. And it is. It's absolutely free. Some of our good friends in the area have made this available to the community, and just some folks that have become dear friends of ours and yours, and we're grateful for their support.
You can go online, ColsonCenter.org/Great Lakes Symposium to find out more. You can call 877-322-5527 for more information as well. 877-322-5527. John, I thank you for your time. I know you need to get going. And I try to relate every time I see our broadcast partners at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. We are so grateful here in the Great Lakes area, northern Michigan, that you are there, John, calling, taking that call and answering the call to head up the organization with the Colson Center and what you're doing there and all your daily updates for us. Tell you what, from the broadcast side of things, you make our job possible day in and day out. So thank you so much for being there, and thank you for putting this symposium together as well.
Well, listen, your work is absolutely critical. You've been up there in that region for so long as a conduit of so much good teaching and so much good discipleship. So we're grateful for your work as well.
All right. John Stone Street from the Colson Center. Again, check it out. It is called the Great Lakes Symposium. It's coming up very quickly, August 5th. It's a Thursday night, 7 to 9:30 p.m., and it is free. John, do you know what the seating capacity is going to be?
You know, we've got some space remaining. We're getting close, though,
okay. Is
what I heard this morning. I think it's about 500 people that the event center holds. It's a beautiful facility, by the way. Brand new. If you haven't been up there, it's fantastic.
All right. John, blessings on you, and hope possibly we'll be able to get to see you when you come through town.
I hope so. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're listening to WLJN Traverse City Charlevoix Ministries of Good News Media Incorporated. And again, a biblical worldview. It's all in the programming on The Source. And we've got our program guide laid out for biblical worldview. You can get that program guide right here at WLJN. Give us a call at 946-1400. All right, John.